Let's pray, okay? Let's pray. God needs to help us here. Father, we don't need to hear from John Council, Lord. We need to hear from you. And Jesus, please, Lord, please, God, speak. Thank you for giving me what you have given me today. And God, if this church family of mine can be as energized and blessed half as much as I have been, Lord God, then that's great. But Lord, give us the full measure of what you need to do here through your word this morning, and let there be no barriers or restrictions from our word permeating our soul and it going out and producing, Lord, wonderful things that will last for eternity in our families and the people that we touch and in our workplaces and school and everywhere we are, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The greatest stories ever told. The greatest stories ever told. Okay? I got this quote. It's not Bible, but tell me what you think of this. The shortest distance between a human being and the truth is a story. Okay? The shortest distance between a human being and the truth is a story. We communicate in stories. I'm always on the hunt for stories. Always. And can you imagine me getting up here and lecturing on truth and the Bible without ever telling stories? Well, of course you can, because I do it too often, okay? Like, I wish I had more stories. Stories are amazing. And when they're true, they're even more amazing. When they're not true, you better say that they're not true, okay? And Dave is nodding, giving me he's the only guy that gave me a knowing nod when I say that. When they're not true, you better say they're not true, because he's got experience with it. I know he does, and I do. And particularly with the internet now, I was raised in an environment where I heard thousands of sermons, and I was always hearing these amazing stories that the pastors and preachers said they swore were up and down true. Well, now we have the internet. And in the last 15, 20 years, I decided to look up some of these stories to see whether they were true or not. You guys have heard of Snopes.com? How many have heard of Snopes.com? Snopes.com is the number one debunker of old wives' tales and myths and half-truths and things that are not true. The creators of Snopes, okay, were actually on my radio show live in studio, because the wife is from Arnprior and they're both in the high-tech industry, and he was up here on a course. He's from San Jose. They live in San Jose, and they were up for a conference, and I had them in my studio. They're the two of the most unassuming people you'd ever want to meet, okay? And I started being a big frequenter of Snopes, and I couldn't believe all of the stories that were told to me in churches that the pastor, this actually happened, it happened, and it tells you that they're false and where the story came from and how it came from. I mean, pastors are probably the worst violators of telling you a story is true when it's not, okay? That's one thing I've never done. If I can't verify the source, I will tell you, I don't know whether this is true or not, okay? So I would never do that to you, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is a powerful thing, okay? And he doesn't ally himself with con artists. He doesn't ally himself with, and the sad thing is, you can be a con artist and you can be lying and you can be doing a lot of unbiblical things and still have a packed church and still have money in the bank like crazy, okay? We're not about that. We serve Jesus, okay? We serve Jesus, and his word is serious to us. It means life and death for us, okay? There's miracles there that conning can't produce, okay? That big crowds can't produce, and that's what we long for, and that's what we seek Jesus for. So, I'm always on the hunt for stories, and good stories. Let's see if this is working. Is it working? There we go. I typed, see that? That's a screenshot. I typed in Google the greatest stories ever told, and I went to images. 90% of them are superhero stories. I put in quotation marks, the greatest stories ever told. That's what I got. That's what I got right there. Good stories are hard to find, okay? So we're thinking about 90 to 80% of the top 50 entries on Google had to do with superheroes. Why? Because the world is desperate for heroes. I don't think the world believes that there isn't even authentic heroes anymore. So the most popular fiction right now are people that are heroes, that do wonderful things. They embrace fantasy. Jesus is the master, was and is the master storyteller. At least one third of all his teaching is stories. At least one third, okay? If you want to know Jesus and how his kingdom works, you got to wrestle with his stories. I chose that word carefully, wrestle with his stories. I don't know whether you're going to understand them. You can know them, but it takes more than knowing them. But the implications and the ins and outs, if you really want to know the powerful truth that are behind them, there's going to be some wrestling involved. Some spiritual, emotional, and psychological wrestling. Because his stories invoke a response. His stories are like a spiritual poke. What are you going to do about that? Yeah. How many times have you heard a story of Jesus, maybe the first or second time? You should hear the discussions that go on in my house, okay? That's not fair. Hey, just a second. You know? They're not just easy to digest. Oh, what a wonderful story. No, he's the master storyteller. There's layers and layers of truth. You don't just read or hear them. What do you think Jesus was talking about when he said, these people have ears to hear, but they can't hear? Why? Because he was communicating truth that is not just on the surface. There are powerful implications to his stories. We wrestle with them. We contend with them. There's magnificent truths behind them that beg to be unlocked. Okay? How many saw the movie Ready? What was that? Was that a phone? Okay. How many have seen the movie Ready Player One? Put your hand up, Ready Player One. Okay? Okay. Ready Player One is a movie about video games. Okay? It's really fun movie. And if you're not into video games, you'll just watch it and you'll go, you know? Anyway, in most video games, there's a secret password or a secret key. And if you hit it, you unlock it, then whoa, it opens up a whole new world. The whole movie Ready Player One is about a future society where the guy who created all the stuff that they live in, this cyber world, he dies and he leaves this unbelievable fortune of billions of dollars. And the whole world goes on this quest of trying to unlock these keys in this virtual world. The whole movie's based on that, okay? The stories of Jesus are like that. It's like there's keys. It's like there's unlocks. You know, like, how many times have you read a story of Jesus and you read it once and you're impressed? Wow, I never thought of it like that. Boom. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit has unlocked something. The Hebrew word for parables, not the Greek word. We're going to get to that one. The Hebrew word for parables is riddles. Jesus spoke almost very close to the word in riddles. There were some people that he didn't really figure out, couldn't really figure it out. And the disciples, the ones that were closest to him, okay, that weren't just there for the magic show, the ones that were serious followers, they would go to him often and say, what are you talking about? And he always explained it. Always. If you're in the Word of God and you really want to know the Lord, if you ask for understanding, he will always give you understanding. And most of his stories required some understanding. The Greek word for parables, it means to throw. We don't have an English word for it, but it means to throw alongside, like a seed. You throw seed along in the path, or a net. You throw the net out to fish. So a parable is something that you kind of throw alongside, like panning for gold as well. Okay, you're kind of sifting. You're kind of going through side to side, and these great stories. Okay, the greatest stories that are ever told. They can be known, they can be memorized for 20, 30, 40 years, and then one day you wake up and you see them from a totally different perspective, and the revealed truth leaves you transformed for the rest of your life. Okay? They're kind of thrown alongside the way we live. They're thrown alongside our financial priorities. They're thrown alongside what our goals and dreams are in life. Okay? Stories thrown alongside. Thrown alongside our story. Hey, here's your story. Now take this story in along with yours. Well, I want to go in a certain direction. Okay, well, this story comes alongside your direction. And hopefully it's going to influence you. Hopefully it's going to take you to a better direction, a more purposeful direction, because the influence of the Holy Spirit comes in through the stories that we sometimes think we're so familiar with. I'm addicted to Ellie, my granddaughter. Going to see her tonight, driving down to Mississauga, okay? And I remember the first time, I used to love to do this with the kids. You ever do this with your kids? When they're babies, you take them to a mirror, you know? And I used to play the Zoom game. You go, okay? And the first time she did it, she didn't even know what was going on. But then there's that first time, Okay? That first time where it clicks and she realizes, that's me. And then things change after that. You know, they can never look in a mirror again, even at like 7-8 months without it having an impact on them, because they see themselves, okay? The stories of Jesus are the same thing. If they really have their impact, they become a mirror. You'll read them, oh, it's a nice story. But if you let the Holy Spirit do its work, you start seeing yourself in there. And you look at the story and you go, oh, this is different. You know, and I've said for decades, the Bible is the only book that reads you. It reads you. And how you respond and what happens is the difference between life eternal and, you know, it just being another collection of books. We love stories, don't we? These stories of Jesus, they're intended to come alongside ours. Got a lot of stories that come alongside us. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Took 9 movies to tell those stories. Some of them were good, some of them were horrible. Okay? Lord of the Rings, oh my goodness, like 3 major stories, billions of dollars made. You know, that's come alongside a lot of movies. And now they took 22 movies to go through the whole Marvel thing. And they're still going. And they're still making billions of dollars. You talk about stories coming alongside. Go on YouTube and check out the set. I mean, there's Comic Cons everywhere now. We got it here in Ottawa, but the granddaddy of them all is the San Diego one. They have 500,000 people show up. I don't know how they handle the crowds. Okay, it's crazy. But I've seen the videos of it. You talk about stories coming alongside people. This whole genre of stories come alongside people. And I mean, the money alone that's being made. Why? It's power of stories. Stories are powerful. We all have our favorite stories. I was going to show you 5 minutes of a clip of my favorite movie of all time. Okay? I've watched it 20 times. And the climactic scene I was going to put up it. But I'm just telling you about it because I'm not going to take the time. Jesus said, no, John, that's you. It's not about you. It's about me. But I do want to tell you one of my favorite stories that he did allow me to talk about. And this is Alan Knight. Okay? Alan Knight last time I checked on Alan Knight, he was leading Alpha in Bethel. He married his wife Heather about 5-7 years ago. And I was leading Alpha in Bethel. And I was leading a table and Alan Knight showed up never been in our church before, heard about Bethel and Alpha, and we're sitting down talking, okay? And we get yakking, small talk, we have the meal. And Alan Knight says, yeah, I'm from Windsor. I says, you're from Windsor? Yeah, really, we get talk back and forth, and tells me where he worked, where he went to school. He's about 10 years older than me. And I says, well, my dad used to pastor the downtown church there, and then I came on staff there, Bethel Pentecostal. He says, oh, the guy that stood up for my wedding was Wally Fitch. Really? He still doesn't know the connection. I say, let me tell you about Wally Fitch's uncle, Willie. I'm going to tell you a story now, okay? Willie Fitch used to be the pastor of that church, okay? When Willie Fitch was the assistant pastor, okay, Willie was driving, and he knows all the streets, Rich knows them too, because he's from Windsor. Willie was driving up and down, this is in the 1930s, okay? Driving up and down Tecumseh Boulevard, okay, between, you know, the Walker Road area where the Ford plant is on Droulard and the big Chrysler plant is right on Tecumseh. And he would drive down Tecumseh heading east. And for a couple months, he said, I got to go knock on the doors in this neighborhood. I've got to go knock on the doors and invite them to church. They did that a lot. Back then, it was before the Jehovah's Witnesses took off and the Mormons. And when somebody came to your door, often they would have something worthy to sell. Fuller Brush people, they made good stuff, okay? And they only sold it door to door. So there wasn't the stigma. Who's that at the door? Let them go away. Back then, it was, oh, somebody's at the door, you know? He says, I want to go and I want to get some literature and invite people to church. Okay, that's all he was going to do. And he drove for 2 months. He fought it. One day he said, that's it. I'm taking a Saturday afternoon or morning, whatever. I'm getting a bunch of, and I'm going to do this blocks, about 4 blocks. I was in that neighborhood a year ago. Okay, it's right where, what's his name? Rogers. Remember he did, they helped with your a funeral there. Kevin Rogers. Kevin Rogers got a church right in that neighborhood there, okay? Gonna go on St. Luke Road, okay? Gonna go and knock on every door. And he had a 3-block, and they're really close together, very humble, small houses, small lots, and knocked on every door. And I drove up on those things years later, and I counted the door. He probably did anywhere from 150 to 300 houses, okay? Knocking on every door. Would you like, oh, no, we got a church. Oh, well, thanks, but slam doors. What, not, they were kind, you know, people were kinder back then. And he only got one response. One response, okay? It was a couple that had moved from England about 20 years before. And they used to be Anglicans. And their oldest son had died at 4 years old. And he died of pneumonia or spinal meningitis or something. And they stopped going to church because they were so broken and they were so bitter. And they had another boy who was 6 years old, okay? And they said to him, yeah, we'll come. We'll come. We'll check it out. That was my grandparents. The little boy was my dad, okay? Here I am talking to Alan Knight about the guy that if he hadn't knocked on those doors, I wouldn't be here today. He's like this. I think God set it up, okay? And if you know what God did in that guy's life and how he just grew, Heather knows his story. The guy's a pillar, man. He's not just saved. I mean, he's the leader. He leads a band, plays bass guitar, he put together a band just to minister in seniors' homes. The guy's incredible. All because of the power of a story. It started with a story. Do you see how powerful stories can be? And then we go back to the fact that Jesus is the master storyteller. He's the master storyteller. After 1989 years, give or take two or three, his stories are still alive with depth and truth and relevance and meaning, and they transform people's lives. Just think of the stories of Christ and their impact on culture. Not just the Church of God and miracles and stuff like that, but their impact on culture and art. And even on a world that is still estranged from him. That even though he allowed himself to be tortured to death for our salvation, his stories permeate everything. Art, architecture, stained glass windows. Thousands and thousands of poems and hymns and songs. How many hospitals are called Good Samaritan Hospital, you know? And yet, every one of them, every one of those stories are down to earth. They're common. They talk about normal people. They're about fathers. They're about sons, farmers, seeds, fishermen, widows, business transactions, fishing trips, baking, cleaning your house. There's no glass slippers. There's no aliens crashing to the ground. There's nobody dressed up like bats. No risking your life for a ring that makes you invisible. There's no magic lamps. There's no singing lobsters under the sea. Everything is normal. Day to day. Down to earth. Every day. Right where we live. Down to earth. Practical, basic stories that everyone worldwide in every time and every culture can relate to. Earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Nope. Not earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Maybe technically, yes. But really, they're stories that invite us to join in with God's kingdom. They're stories that are invitations. Hey, check this out. Start living like this. You know? Think about this. What would you do? How would you react? Mark 4:33. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them. As much as they could understand, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Isn't that great? He wasn't trying to hide. He just knew that if you don't have an inquiring heart, if you don't care, if you don't want to follow me, you're probably not going to understand anyway. That's the key. Do I want to follow Christ? Because if you want to follow him, oh boy, he's got stuff for you. Jesus knows that we are hardwired to embrace stories. And we can be rewired by their power too. Have you got that? We can be rewired too. Wall Street Journal. Okay? I'm not a big Wall Street Journal person, but I came across this. And this was April of 2016, so it's 3 years ago. The lady's name is Allison Gopnik. Why are you telling us that, John? We don't need to know this info. Well, it's true. This is not made up. Okay? She actually wrote this. And the title was, want a mind meld. You know what a mind meld is? Star Trek, you know, mind meld. You don't know what I'm thinking, so we're going to put our minds together, and now we are thinking in the same track. You want a mind meld? Tell a compelling story. That was the title. And then she's highfalutin PhD in psychology and communication and everything. Stories, here's some of the basic truths from this article. Stories form a connection between the teller and listener like no other. That's why Thursday night is so important. When we listen to people telling stories and we get that they open up their hearts so we can tell their stories, there's a connection that takes place, okay? That's way deeper than us both rooting for the Ottawa Senators, okay? Or working in the same place. When you start sharing stories, okay? There's connections that take place. And think about the master storyteller, Jesus. He's telling stories to disciples. They're getting the deeper meaning. There's connections, powerful connections, okay? Stories make disciples if they're told right, okay? He's making disciples by telling them stories. Why do you think we have story time in this church? Because it's powerful. There's one thing in common with most of the storytellers, okay? And you don't know this because you don't hear me asking them if they want to do their stories and telling them, well, what should I do? We should do this, do this. Here's the one thing everyone and have in common. Every one of them, since we've started, every storyteller that I've said, hey, I want you to tell your story. This is what I get. Oh, I don't got to start. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, there's nothing to it, you know? Now, I don't mean to make fun. The devil understands the power of a story. The devil understands the power of your story. So he fills us with, oh, it's nothing. And every time, you guys that have been there, every time we hear a story, we walk out of there going, wow. You know? It's amazing. The better we understand Jesus' stories, the better we're going to understand him and how his kingdom works and what our purpose and promise is in that kingdom. Then there's the bunch who have closed themselves to the power of these stories. Okay? That happens in churches too. You know? For this people's heart has become calloused. How does something become calloused? Talk to any guitarist. Guitarists play, you know? And they've been on their guitar for so long that their fingers get calloused that they're like rock hard. And the harder they get, oh man. I've known guitarists that have had injuries and they put their guitar away for 6 months to a year and they pick it up again and they try to do what they were gonna do and their fingers start bleeding. It's bad, okay? But calluses are developed by taking hard knocks, by, you know, just getting pushed around and usually you've heard of a calloused heart. Have your heart broken a number of times, it gets calloused, it gets hard, okay? For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. Look at that. A calloused heart can be a barrier to healing. I mean, even the King of Kings, the great healer, okay, is limited by calloused hearts here. Okay? That's serious. The stories of Jesus, they force us to think. They force us to pray, to decide, to wrestle, to contend, to do some soul searching. Why? Because they're alive. They're alive. They're not just stories. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive. And it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I want to use this illustration because the illustration I'm going to give you right now has not been able to be used until the last 50 years. He's the light of the world, okay? What's condensed light? Light can be so condensed and so powerful it can do microsurgery, okay? The light of the world. The word of God is the light of the world. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. What's sharper than a two-edged sword? Well, the way I got laser eye surgery, okay? A laser can cut finer and more perfectly than anything else. That's the word of God. It's like a laser. And it hits its target and he never slips. Never. And he heals. With it. It judges the thoughts and attitudes. When the disciples asked him to explain his parables, he did. And they kept following. They didn't always get it. You know that scripture when they're in the boat, you know, he starts talking about yeast. And the first thing he says before he comments is, why are you guys still so dull? You know? You know that loses something in translation. It's, well, you guys are such doofuses. Man, I got to explain everything to you. That's what he's saying to them. Okay? But they kept following. They hung in there. His stories, they intrigue us. Sometimes they entertain us. Okay? Person's got no sin, you throw the first stone. Ha! Got him!
Nailed, look at those chickens. Look at, they're all going. Look at them. Going, wow, man. What a story. That's great. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. They entertain us. They make us curious. They also help us to see and know God. They rearrange priorities. They make a fresh start. They maximize our talents. They help us cope with stress. They help us cope with suffering. They show us how to love. They show us how to forgive. They convict us. They motivate us. They challenge us. They teach us. They heal us. They unlock God's kingdom everywhere. Everywhere they're given a listening ear. They're the greatest stories ever told because they have the power to change the world. They already have. Now they need to change my world. Now they need to change your world. They've already changed the world. They need to change your world. They need to change. But I already know God. I'm not holding back. They need to change your world. They have the power to do that no matter where you are in Jesus. Okay? Let me show you how much power they got. Dan, where's Dan? We had coffee, remember, Wednesday? When I left you, I was heading south on Bank Street. When I walked out, there was somebody panhandling on the ground that I know. I never made eye contact with them, but I kept walking because high maintenance. Didn't want to, oh boy, if I get talking to her, I'm walking and I'm 2-3 steps going and the Holy Spirit convicts me right away. You doofus. You jerk. And I'm walking and I'm getting further away. And I was like, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. And that prayer of repentance, it must have been a real prayer of repentance and not just trying to get out of a bad situation or a good situation, whatever. When another couple who are just as high maintenance and even more talkative, I'm not making the same mistake this time. And I go over and it's Calvin. Okay, Calvin, that I met these people at a dinner and they were living common law and I got joking around. I do weddings, you know, and I actually talk them into getting married. Okay. August, I'm doing their wedding for them. So I'm talking to Calvin. He's the guy with the hair lip, you know, on Thursday night. You know, no. What'd you say, Calvin? I have no idea what he's saying. Okay. But I love this guy. So I spend 10, 15, fooling around with them, having a good time. And I walked away and I started crying. Why? Because I encountered Jesus. I thought Jesus was mad because I screwed up. And instead of screwing up, he says, I'm giving you another chance. And I'm telling you, He is with the least of these. You're going to encounter the presence and power of Jesus. I don't have a lot of sermons make me cry anymore, but that made me cry. I had my sunglasses on, so it was okay. I'm on the street, you know, nobody could see me. And I just was thanking God. Thanking God for that, okay? Now, where did I learn that? I read a story about the Good Samaritan, you know? You probably heard the story about the Good Samaritan where this PhD Bible professor got his kids to write an essay on the Good Samaritan and the spiritual depth of it, okay? And they were supposed to hand it in at a certain time. And he paid an actor to act like somebody that was all beat up and by the road, right about 20 feet away from where they had to walk past. And they had to hand their essays in, okay? This guy's there, and he's not pretty sight, okay? He's looking like he's really... And he flunked, I think about 80 kids had to hand in their, he flunked every one of them except one. And you know the one that he passed? The one that he passed didn't even get the paper in. But the one that he passed stopped and helped the kid, stopped and helped the actor, did everything they could. Found out after that it was an actor, but he's the only one that passed. Where would they learn that? Power of a story. You ready for a great corny hymn? This is so good. Some of you know what's going to come up already. I want you to stand with me, okay? I'm going to start singing as soon as it gets up there. Those of you that know it, you belt it out. Those of you that don't know it, you kind of get over your laughter a little bit, but then try to receive what the Holy Spirit's trying to give you. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus. Keep your eyes closed. I got another song in my head. I didn't put the lyrics up. When you know a pretty story, you don't let it go unsaid. You tell it to your children when you tuck them into bed. And when you know a wonderful secret, you tell it to your friends. Because a lifetime spent with Jesus, this is a beautiful song that never ends. So sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation. And let your laughter fill the air. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation. Tell the people everywhere. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation to every man and every nation. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation and let the people know that Jesus cares. Jesus, we got a great story, Lord. If you are alive in our lives, we've got the greatest stories, God. And I'm asking this morning, Lord, that you would do a wonderful work of your Holy Spirit in obliterating the lies that we are bombarded with continually, that our stories are not great. Our stories are eternal. Our stories are wonderful. And when you are involved, God, they're way more powerful than the devil wants us to know. God, in the name of Jesus, take away the fear this morning, Lord, of us telling our stories, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. 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 We receive your Spirit this morning, God. We receive your Spirit. God, I know you're not teaching us just so we'll have a good time on Sunday morning. You're teaching us, God, because there's Alan Knights out there that we're going to touch with our stories. There are Calvins out there that we're going to touch with our stories. There's Zaires out there that we're going to touch with our stories, God. And we need your anointing, God, so we receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. If you know how much you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just put your hands in some type of receiving posture right now. Right now. Well, John, that's kind of a childish thing to do. Are you kidding me? How many times did Jesus tell us to do childish things? He wanted to know if we were really willing. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I can't make it happen, Lord God. All I can do is hunger. And all I can do is create an opportunity, God, maybe for you, God, to transform. Come, God, come. Lord, our loved ones need more than our know-how. They need more than our giftings. They need more than our finances. Lord, they need you. And we want you to flow through us, God, unrestricted. Some of us think we're not very good storytellers, but God, your Holy Spirit can come in and transform that. If we're just willing to show up and put ourselves out there, God, and let you do the rest, God. Transform us with your power, God. Transform us with your power. Keep us believing. Keep us protecting each other. Keep us building each other up and encouraging each other, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.